Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to this very, very special edition of Catholic Answers Live. Today is our 20th anniversary as a radio program. 20 years ago today, Catholic Answers Live first went on the air on hundreds of, four radio stations. But today...
400 radio stations?
No, just four radio stations. I am Cy Kellett, your host. I am joined in studio today amongst all the streamers and decorations by Chris Check, our president. Hi,
hello.
Chris.
Hello. Thank you, Cy, for having me.
Jimmy Akin, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers. Hi, Jimmy.
Howdy.
And by Tim Staples, director of apologetics and evangelization here. Hi, Tim.
Good to be with you, my friend.
Jimmy, you are the original member. You were here on that day 20 years ago. Well, not
I
here.
I was.
Not
well, it was in our other office. Yeah. But yeah, I was on the very first episode of Catholic Answers Live, and I'm the only person still on staff who was on the very first answer. So... I'm the sole survivor.
Chris, that's why we brought you in here today, Jimmy. Chris, there's something you wanted to say to Jimmy?
Congratulations, Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good. You just recently re-listened to that first episode.
Yes, I did.
Any impressions? I mean, I don't want you to do impressions, but any – please don't do impressions.
We've improved a lot.
Have we?
Yeah. And I know I was listening to myself, and it's like, okay, wow, you could perk up the energy there a little bit.
Really? You sounded like a downer?
Well, not a downer, but just kind of, you know, extremely relaxed at the beginning of the hour. Fortunately, as we had calls starting to come in on that first show, the energy level picked up. Uh-huh. But in the beginning, I mean, it was kind of an awkward thing because it's the, you know, you imagine the situation. It's our very first show.
Yep.
We're on four stations. Mm-hmm. We have no audience that's used to tuning in to listen to us.
Right.
The people who are tuning in are hearing us for the very first time. They have no idea who we are. They're not used to calling in.
Uh-huh.
And we have to talk about stuff with no calls and why we're doing this show. And it was just, it was.
Wait,
it,
that's
it,
different than now?
Is that right? Yeah.
Jimmy, where were those four stations?
Oh,
well, I know one of them was an Immaculate. Some of them was an Immaculate Heart.
Right.
A couple were Immaculate Heart stations.
There was another
Serena
in Florida. I don't recall where they all were. We actually had some callers in that show who weren't on the four stations. One of the things, because Catholic radio had not grown in 1998 to the point it's at now, there weren't hundreds of Catholic stations. And so what we had done is we had partnered with EWTN. In addition to being on the four stations, we had partnered with them to be on their global shortwave radio network. And we had spent a number of months as we were, you know, getting donor support to start the show, to buy all the equipment and stuff. We had been giving as premiums shortwave radios so that people could listen to us on shortwave because there weren't the local stations at the time. And so we had some callers from the shortwave station that were hearing us around the world.
Anyone who calls in today who is listening on a shortwave radio gets a special prize, I think, right, Cy?
Yeah, definitely.
If you're so those of you in the Philippines, give us a call.
That's right. If you're listening on shortwave.
Jimmy, how did the show go? It was 1 hour a day.
Right.
And then how did you manage guests and all that? What was the show like for those first months?
Initially, it was all themed shows. Now, today we have open forums on Tuesdays and Thursdays typically.
Right.
But then it was – we have topical shows the other days of the week. And initially, that's how that's how it all was. We had some concern in the beginning about – do we have the breadth of knowledge needed to just handle any question that's thrown at us? And so – and some people felt more comfortable than others with that. But we had some really narrow topics. I think I mentioned to you yesterday.
Yeah.
We actually had on the calendar we had a couple of months of shows planned out before we launched. One of the topics we had planned was an entire hour on who can go to communion.
Yeah, that is a scintillating hour of radio.
By the way, a question that persists in the church today.
But you have to mostly spend the hour on who can't go there, right?
As that hour approached, we rapidly invented the open forum.
Yeah.
That may have been the first open forum.
Tim Staples.
Yes.
Now a staple of Catholic Radio. When did you come aboard? How did that happen?
Here at Catholic Answers 13 years ago now, as of January 2nd, 13 years. I had been one of the few, the proud, that was in Catholic radio since 1994. And when I started, we were on one station, and a Protestant one, in 94. But that was for 3 years with a little group called St. Joseph Radio. Then I went to St. Joseph Communications in 97. That's when Mother Angelica came on board and Catholic Answers and radio began to bud. So I was director of apologetics there. So we had Reasons for Faith Live. That was our radio show. But years later, this would have been in 2004, I got a call from a guy, I think his name was Jimmy Aiken, as I recall, who asked me if I would like to come on a Catholic Answers cruise. And at the time, my wife and I were in the middle of talking about what is our next step, because I was preparing to leave St. Joseph Communications. There are lots of reasons. It's a wonderful group, but we were thinking of moving on. And so it was, we believe, providential, and now obviously so, that Jimmy called and said, would you be interested? And I felt like saying, heck yes! Are you kidding me? But yeah, I think I might be able to clear my calendar.
Radio. Be careful with the heck.
That's right.
Yeah, no, don't attend their Staples.
The yeah. So I went on that cruise, and it was on that cruise that my wife and I sat down with Carl Keating and asked, hey, would you be looking for any help over at Catholic Answers? And Carl's response was, actually, yeah, we've had our eye on you for a while, and so that led to this. I came on board January 2nd, hard to believe, 13 years ago. It just seems like yesterday.
Yeah, and Chris Check?
I also was recruited on a cruise. It was to the Mediterranean. I'd led some walks in Rome for a Catholic Answers cruise, and then we did a Mediterranean cruise, and it was at that time that Carl said, I was with the Rockford Institute at the time, and he said, I'm looking for a full-time director of development, and then, of course, unfolded in where I've got the hell now. But I'm the neophyte here. Yeah. I've been with Catholic Answers 5 years. You are. Yeah,
I've been here 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year this month.
But I have been blessed to see, Cy. Well, I want to say three things real quick. One is, I'm happy after 2 decades that we still have this dear friendship that we have with EWTN.
Yes.
And looking forward to 20 more years of that. In fact, I just got a nice note from Tom Price to that effect. Looking forward to the next 20 with you.
That's nice. For people who don't know, Tom Price is?
He's the director of radio or director of radio programming or something to that effect.
At EWTN.
At EWTN, right. And then the other thing is, I have also been blessed to see in my brief tenure here, 2 magnificent developments here. One, the creation of this great studio, which has launched us into TV, and we go weekly on EWTN in March with the TV show. And then, of course, Cy bringing you aboard
Now we're already on monthly. We're about to up the ante, right?
Right.
But wait, don't interrupt him when he says bringing you on board. Cy, Tim, you step on my moment.
Well, Cy, you are a natural. You have a heart for this work. And by that, most of all, I mean you have a heart for the caller. Mm-hmm. And when the caller... When these callers call this show, it's clear they know, it's clear to them that they are loved by you and by our guest, and that we are going to help them as best we can. And it's just been a joy the last year working with you.
Well, thank you. Thanks. Go ahead.
I was going to mention something just to touch back on Tim's arrival, because it had an impact on the format of the show. Cy, you mentioned that when we started, we were 1 hour a day. And obviously people listening to us now know we have two hours a day.
Right.
And the reason for that is actually connected with Tim's arrival, because when Tim was coming on board, it was realized, he would make a natural radio presence. And we had at that point you know, a number of staffers, including me and Carl, who were already doing a significant amount of radio. And the question was, well, with a growing staff, how are we going to accommodate all that on the schedule? And so I said, let's do a second hour. And that's how the second hour started. So, Tim, you're...
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate that. The very first caller from the show, I'm not going to say who it is, but we have that person with us. We have to take a quick break when we come back. The very first caller from 20 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazingly, still alive.
And oh, yeah. It is amazing. When you find out who it is.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Come on, yeah. Chris Check. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more after this of the 20th anniversary special here at Catholic Answers Live.
Your number one source for Catholic apologetics and evangelization, Catholic Answers Live.
January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and his DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a savings of over 70%. Both the book and the DVD were made specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue, and to give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of the book Persuasive Pro-Life or the DVD Making the Case for Life for just $5 each, just call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to the faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This is our very special 20th anniversary edition. We have Chris Check, Jimmy Akin, and Tim Staples here in the studio with us, along with almost everybody in the staff out there on the other side of the glass.
Hi,
everybody.
Room.
Thanks for
good
coming.
People who make it happen.
Yeah. Even saw our chaplain with a party hat on a minute ago. That was a good look. With the habit. With the habit. Yeah, right. I think they should all wear that, the party hat. 20 years ago on this day, the first caller to Catholic Answers called in. And we have that person on the line. I'm going to ask that person to talk, and you can see if you can recognize who that person is. Hello, caller. Are you there with us?
I am, Cy Kellett. How are you? Hi, Jimmy. Hi,
Chris. Oh, it's Patrick Coffin. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Not Chris again.
All right. Can we do a rewind? Hit the 10-second dump button.
So it is true, as Cy said, Patrick, you are still alive.
Yes. What was that Mark Twain line that the Rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
Patrick Madrid, for those who do not know, Patrick Madrid was the first caller to Catholic Answers Live. And he went on to it really changed your life, didn't it, Patrick? Now you're a major radio host and author of about 600-700 books. I'm not sure. Somewhere in the middle there. Things have gone well for you in the meantime, Patrick.
Well, God is good. That's for sure. And, you know, everything that I've done subsequent to my 8 years at Catholic Answers, I really attribute to those 8 great years with Catholic Answers. That was really the foundation of everything. So it's an honor for me and a privilege to be here with all of you guys celebrating. I wish I could be there in that studio with you. Yeah. But, this is an exciting day.
Well, how did it come about that you were the first caller, Patrick?
Funny thing, Cy. What happened was when I found out that the show was going to launch
that afternoon, and I suppose I found out a few days earlier, I thought, great, I want to call in as an alum and just wish Catholic Answers success and say hello. And I was on hold in the queue of callers, and the host at that time, he said, okay, let's go to our first caller. And the first caller, for whatever reason, wasn't there, or they couldn't hear him or something. So they said, well, okay, I guess we'll go to the next first caller, and that happened to be me. So by happenstance, and a happy one at that, I turned out to be the first caller on the first show. And then we did it again 10 years ago on the 10th anniversary. So wow. This is really a
and
cool
here
thing.
We are on the 20th.
We're going to want to hit you up not just on the 30th, but on the 25th also. So, you know, mark
yes,
the calendar.
Yes, let's do it. Yeah. Yeah, right. Let's do it.
So, Patrick, you provide an interesting detail there. At the time that the radio show started, you already were an alum of Catholic Answers. So a lot of our listeners may not know that the institution or the apostolate goes back to well before the radio show. And you were there very near the beginning.
Indeed, yes. Carl was doing Catholic Answers as a kind of part-time apostolate. He was a lawyer, still is from what I understand, but he was doing law as his bread and butter, and then he had his Catholic apologetics activities on the side. So he printed and published a newsletter called Catholic Answers. He had done a couple of debates that I think are still available if you know where to find them on the internet. And he had been writing tracts, and he had written some chapters in preparation for a book that came out, which was called Catholicism and Fundamentalism. But it was all part-time done on the side. Well, I got to know Carl in the early part of 87, and he let me know toward the end of the year that he was starting a full-time version of Catholic Answers, opening an office, leaving the law, and doing this full-time. So it coincided with my life that I began working with Carl, I think it was January of 1988. And so that's when I began, and I was there for 8 years. In fact, Jimmy and I had an opportunity to work together for the last several years.
Yeah.
And then when I left, I think that's when all the really great things began to happen after I was gone. But well, Patrick, boy, did I look on fondly.
Patrick, one of my favorite stories that you tell about the early days was a staff meeting where you walked in, or you were all sitting around the table, and Carl walks in. And he says, there's this thing coming. It's called the internet. And there are these things called URLs. Yes. And I'm going to buy Catholic.com.
Wow.
And you all just sort of nodded your heads and said, okay, Carl, great idea.
Yeah, we had no clue. I mean, I had no clue. Jimmy probably understood it, but I didn't understand it.
But, I don't even remember it.
Oh, well, it was the most
when we
remarkable
got Catholic.com, though.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was the engineer road office. And, when I remember it vividly, because Carl was trying to explain to us what the internet was, and I had never even heard of it.
Wow.
So he said that he, because apparently he was really avidly reading these trade magazines about these things, he said that he took a shot at registering Catholic.com, and they would find out in the next several weeks whether or not Catholic Answers got that URL, which I didn't understand. What a prescient move on his part.
Absolutely.
Before anybody thought of it, he got that name, and that's been such a blessing for Catholic Answers ever
just
since.
Very recently, we had a testimony from a kid who in Texas who was an atheist. He was, and he said, out of respect for my Catholic grandmother, I typed in Catholic.com into my search engine. Anyway, the guy was ordained last month. So
wow. You know, Patrick, beautiful. This makes me think of the fact that not only are all of us here indebted to Catholic Answers, but we are certainly indebted to that man, Carl Keating.
Absolutely.
Who founded and started
had
the
courage
thing.
To step out of the boat.
Yes, he did.
More than Indeed. Once, too. I mean, he was ahead of the curve so many times. And
yeah.
I suppose we all kind of maybe have our moments where we're like, I know what the church needs. I know what but there's these certain people who do it. And
Carl
did it.
Yeah,
and I think start a radio show when there's only four Catholic radio stations available to you. Yeah. I mean, to get Catholic.com before anyone knows what the internet is.
In fact, I've argued, Cy, that Carl's legacy isn't just Catholic Answers, now an organization of some 47 employees here.
It includes all the souls that have been touched through the ministry.
Yes, and all the other apostolates.
Mm-hmm.
Because that period when Carl stepped out of the boat was an apologetics wasteland, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
And now there are many, many organizations lay-run organizations. And it's a uniquely American thing. You don't see these so much in Europe.
Yeah. Although we have our friends in Australia and right. the Philippines who have modeled themselves after us.
Which, yes, yeah. So, yeah.
Incidentally, when I was re-listening to the very first show in preparation for this one, I took note of the first question that was ever asked on the show. And it wasn't asked by a caller because, you know, four stations. But
yeah.
The very first question that was asked on the show was, what is apologetics? And Jerry Usher, the founding host, asked it. And so that was actually something that we had to explain a lot in the early days is, what is this whole apologetics thing? It sounds really weird.
And,
you know, it sounds kind of defensive or something like that. And people weren't as familiar with the term back then.
Or that you're saying you're sorry you're Catholic, remember?
Yeah.
Carl used to use that as an anecdote all the time in his talks.
Good opportunity, by the way, to mention Carl's new book, Booked for Life, which just came out from Catholic Answers Press and is available at shop.catholic.com, where Carl has – there's about 15 essays in there where he talks about the books that – mostly the English – British apologists who were most influential in his own formation.
Right.
It's a great book.
Patrick, while we have you here,
do you want to ask a question?
You should. You're the caller. We should let you ask a question. I was going to ask you a question, but...
Where's purgatory in the Bible?
Want to ask you this, Patrick, because I think there was a sense in which where the Catholic Church had gone through the 60s and 70s and 80s and all that, there was a resistance, I think, not just an ignorance about, but a resistance to apologetics.
Definitely.
There was a sense that, oh, we should just live as good people and that will be adequate witness and all that. I think that I remember being taught that, actually. What have you seen, Patrick, since this show started 20 years ago in the development of apologetics as a way of helping people reason their way to the faith?
It's an important question because it delves even further back than just 20 years ago. My association with Carl goes back about 30 years now. But before that, as you say, it was a wasteland. What happened, is, in my understanding, was that in the seminaries, for example, it was very common that apologetics was taught as a discrete course as part of the seminary training. When the Second Vatican Council occurred, some people got it into their heads that apologetics was too retrograde. It was too, quote-unquote, anti-ecumenical, etc. So it was not only no longer taught, but it was actually actively frowned upon.
Right.
And so come the early 80s, late 80s, when Carl Keating began to kind of revive this awareness of apologetics in the face of the onslaught of various sects and challenges, there was nothing there to draw upon. So he had to really start from scratch and also kind of look back to the earlier apologists that he learned from. And I remember vividly in, say, 1988, 1989, and even into the early 90s, Carl and I were barnstorming largely all around Southern California. And some weeks we were out three or four nights a week at a different parish each night in the Southland. And I vividly recall not only people not understanding the word apologetics, they were puzzled by it. Like, why would you apologize for being Catholic? Yeah. But we also had to win over many of these good-hearted priests who had been told in their seminary formation that apologetics was bad because, well, for the reasons I just mentioned. So that was a really interesting turning point. It didn't happen all at once, but eventually the tide began to turn, and apologetics was no longer seen as anti-ecumenical or pre-Vatican II. People realized how important it is.
Patrick, again, while I only have you for a short time again, and since you're the first caller, I want to ask you this as well. Do you think that apologetics has developed away from being just a response to kind of Protestant fundamentalism, or was that more of a preoccupation in those days than it is now, in your view?
Well, I think it was more of an urgent necessity at the time.
Oh, okay.
Because the reason I say that is because the average Catholic typically would not bump into an atheist back in the 80s, typically would not bump into a Hindu or a Muslim, but they were frequently bumping into arguments from our Protestant friends. So that was the most common kind of need that I thought was there at the time. Also, answers about Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses. So we also did those things. But yes, to answer your question, I do believe that the thrust of apologetics, although never forsaking those answers for Protestants, we now have gone into other territories, bioethics, atheism, moral relativism, that kind of thing. So I see that as a kind of a natural progression.
Patrick Madrid, first caller to Catholic Answers Live.
God bless you, Patrick.
Thank you, guys.
A real worker in the vineyard. Thanks so much for all you do, Patrick Madrid.
God bless Catholic Answers. I love you guys.
Amen.
Thank you.
Love you too, brother.
We will take a quick break. If you're watching us streaming online, you get to look at the cake. If you're not, you should watch us. You go, maybe flip open Facebook and take a look, because it's really cool here in the studio today. We'll be right back with more of our celebration of our 20th right after this.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Peggy Normandin, host of Call Me Catholic. Christmas is the definitive season of love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, the precious baby in the manger. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in this Christmas, let's dwell in the miracle and the mystery of God's infinite love for us. Let it warm our hearts and nourish our souls. Merry Christmas, my friends, from all of us at EWTN Radio.
Looking for the best in solid Catholic resources that can answer your questions on all things Catholic? Looking for books, audio, and DVDs by the top Catholic thinkers and speakers on the planet today? Stop in today and visit the shop at Catholic.com. All of our resources are time-tested, apologist-vetted, and trustworthy and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. There's truly no better source for solid Catholic resources anywhere on the Internet. And now, we've made your online shopping even more affordable with $5 flat rate shipping within the continental U.S. When you're shopping for great Catholic books, CDs, DVDs, and more, turn to someone you can trust. Visit the shop at Catholic.com today. That's shop.catholic.com.
Did you know that there's a place you can turn first that features the newest, most exciting Catholic resources, as well as a huge selection by some of the best Catholic authors and speakers on the planet? It's our online store at shop.catholic.com. All of our offerings are time-tested and apologist-vetted and trustworthy and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. And, of course, the lights are always on for your shopping convenience. It's one-stop shopping made affordable and easy. Shop.catholic.com.
And welcome back. This is the brand new radio program just hitting the air on four radio stations. It's Catholic Answers Live. We don't have a clue what we're doing, but we're rolling with this thing. I think I'm your host, Jerry Usher. Actually, Cy Kellett is the host.
Well, you're looking into the future there, Jerry Usher.
Back to the future. Yeah. Hey, guys.
We are joined now, as you can tell, by the original host, the founding host of Catholic Answers Live, Jerry Usher. Yay, Jerry. So glad to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, I'll bet you some folks thought they're running a clip from the first show.
Well, I wanted to ask Jimmy. Jimmy, where are you listening to that initial broadcast? Is that online somewhere?
It's not online, to my understanding. But we have the original files for, you know, all the shows, and I got our expert engineer Nick Chamberlain to email me an MP3 of it. So I was listening to
it. What is that you're holding in your hand?
Is that a 78 album or
a lot of
on wax track?
Yeah, many of our listeners were probably born after these were in common use. This is a cassette tape, and it says Catholic Answers. Number one, premiere broadcast with Carl Keating and Jimmy Akin, 1598 right there. That's a
so yeah, that little shows cassette you tape. How long the show has been going. We were archiving it at the time on cassette tapes because DVDs were – CDs weren't even yet a thing, much less MP3s and stuff like that.
Yeah, right. It's nice to have those cassettes too. I mean, thousands of them probably in a warehouse somewhere. I don't know how many of them we've got. Jerry, tell us a little bit from your perspective about that first show 20 years ago today.
Well, actually, I've been listening to you guys online, and Patrick was a great contributor to that first show. I'm trying to remember, Jimmy, you'll remember this, and Tim, over the years, my mother used to call in. I'm trying to remember if she was on that first broadcast.
She was. She was one of the first callers, said she was going to listen every day. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was used to say she was one of the only mothers in the world who knew where her son was every day. But, yeah, that first show, I remember we went on the air, and I heard you say, Jimmy, you know, the show's come a long way, and I can attest to that. I remember I have listened to that first broadcast, and I can hear the wobbling in my voice, and, you know, we're all just kind of going, hello, welcome. Yeah. Somebody take over and tell us what apologetics means.
Yeah, you and I kind of went to opposite extremes in that episode because I started out really slow, really laid back, and you were hyped up and really talking really fast.
I was.
But we found our sea legs. And now, Jerry, you had prior radio experience, so this was not a totally new thing to you. I mean, our show is obviously new, but you had worked elsewhere in the radio industry doing stuff for Catholic stations, for the few that there were. You had previously been in Reno, is that correct?
Yeah, well, I actually went to broadcasting school in the fall of 1979 and had my first radio job when I was 18 in 1980. And so, yeah, I've been almost 38 years in this. But at that point, I had just gotten into Catholic radio. I'd helped to launch Immaculate Heart Radio, their first station in Reno. And then Catholic Answers came calling, and the opportunity presented itself. And I had never really done a talk show. And certainly Catholic radio, like you guys have talked about, was really brand new at that time. So we were all just sort of newbies, this ragtag bunch trying to figure out what we were doing. And thanks be to God, you know, a few good things have come out of it over the years.
So were you in secular radio all that time?
I did work in secular radio for many, many years. I got into radio because I wanted to do sports casting, which I did, play-by-play. And I was a DJ and a newscaster and all that stuff. And then I had, you know, as many people know, a few years out of radio in the seminary. But,
right.
Fantastic.
One of the things that we talked about on that first show was the need for the kind of Catholic talk show that we were going to be doing, because all of us had had, you know, some prior radio experience. Like I had been a jock at a country station when I was in high school, and then after becoming an apologist, initially as a Protestant and then as a Catholic, I had appeared on a bunch of radio shows. But when you would go on Protestant radio programs, it was frequently kind of dogpile on the Catholic. You know, you weren't given a chance to give full answers. Sometimes it would be a three-on-one situation where you'd be battling the host and another guest and somebody else, and you'd have to defend yourself.
Been there, done that.
Exactly. And so one of the things that Catholic Answers Live would allow us to do is give full answers and not simply be cut off and contradicted at every term, so we could really explore the case for the Catholic faith. And I like to think that in all the years of the show, we've been fairer. I mean, certainly have tried to be, but I think we've succeeded in being fairer to people calling in from other perspectives. Now, because it's a live call-in show, we can't go on forever. We have to keep things moving. But we let people pose their questions. We give them an answer. We see if they have follow-up and so forth. And it's something that I think we've really been able to achieve, both having our initial goal met of being able to explain the Catholic faith in a fuller way than we could in these other formats, and then also be fairer with people of other perspectives. And I'd also say we've tended to succeed at being more charitable than what we would often experience on non-Catholic radio shows.
It's certainly true. It's certainly true. And having Jerry here with us during this segment makes me think about how much God has blessed this program in particular, because when Jerry left, there was, what are we going to do? Where are we going to find a new host? And then we had the very talented Patrick Coffin. And then when
Johnny Hochrath.
Right, Johnny. Right, exactly. And then Patrick. And then when Patrick left, again, there was the concern, how are we going to replace him? And now we have Cy.
Yeah.
And we've just been blessed with really first-rate hosts for the duration of this program. And not just the host, but the entire production team, which I don't know if Andrew can turn that TriCaster around there and see, you know, Nick and Andrew and Nathan doing the call screen, and then of course Darren, who never says a word back there in his office.
He's hiding like two offices away.
Makeup.
But But
Darren, come on in. You want to come in?
Yeah, you should come on, Darren. But one of the reasons, I would say one of the central reasons this show is as good as is. Sure, we have four of the best apologists full time here at Catholic Answers. That certainly is true. We have a great host. We have a magnificent production team, and the show is very well oiled. And for a radio program to be educational and informative, it also has to be engaging, because otherwise, Tim and Jimmy can go on at length about what this or that passage in Scripture means, but if the program's not engaging, people aren't going to listen to it.
Right.
And part of that engagement is keeping the show moving, mm-hmm. and that expert production and the call screening and the excellent engineering and the selection of the guests, and that's been going on for two decades, and that is... It's evidence that God loves the show. I mean, that's probably. Can I say that? Is that? Am I allowed to say that? Is that?
Theological opinion.
Is that? Is that presumption?
That's not doctrine.
That's not doctrine.
The catechism.
It ought to be doctrine.
Tunes in every day at 3:00. I'm certain of it.
He does. Yes.
Jerry, how long was the learning curve? Do you think? Like to really get the show to be what you wanted it to be.
About 10 minutes.
Really?
No, it took a while. And in fact, as many people, you just mentioned Johnny Hocraft, I actually came on board to sort of create the show and serve as the first host, but that was with the understanding that I was going to leave. We launched in January. I actually was intending to leave, and I did leave in August of that year to continue my discernment of a priestly vocation. So I was there for less than a year, and then when Johnny departed himself to go to the seminary, and I had not remained in that environment, I came back. But mm-hmm. yeah, it took a while. But I remember, Jimmy, you'll remember this very well. We used to kind of bribe the callers. We used to say the most interesting question is going to get a copy of Jimmy's book or Carl's book or whatever. And that was totally arbitrary, of course. We'd get to the end of the program and I'd be kind of frantically waving at whoever the guest was, Jimmy or Carl, saying, we need to pick a winner.
Yeah.
And they would go, give it to Betty in Jacksonville.
I always, and I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore. That's another consequence of being on so few stations in the beginning. Yeah. I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore because it's so subjective and there are so many great questions that we get that it always felt, there was this other great question, but now I have to make a decision.
Yeah, that's another important point, Jimmy. The callers, of course, without mm-hmm. whom the show would not be what it is.
Oh,
and the quality
yes.
and the level of intelligence and the depth of thought of the questions that we get, it's remarkable.
I've noticed a shift in the types of questions that we get over the years. In the beginning, they were all very simple. And, I remember feeling at one point, like, if I have to answer one more time, did Jesus have brothers, I'm going to scream. but then as the number of stations grew, well, I should say the audience got catechized as
yes.
a result of listening, and they started asking harder and harder questions. And then when the number of stations expanded, it brought a lot of new people into the system who hadn't heard the early stuff. And so we got a nice mix of the more basic questions and the more advanced questions, which is kind of where we are now.
And then we also saw an increase in the numbers of atheists, people that are not Catholic. Remember, mm-hmm. Jimmy, when we first did the open forum for non-Catholics, mm-hmm. I remember Jan was worried, are we going to get any calls? So we had folks standing by to chum calls, to call in some calls because we weren't sure we were going to get any when we did things like open forum for non-Catholics and then later for atheists. But we never had a problem.
We didn't. And Jan, by the way, was Jan Wakelin. She was the head of radio at the time. And so she
God bless
a bunch
you,
of
Jan
the,
Wakelin.
Yeah.
She did the work, didn't she, Jimmy, to get
Indeed.
This thing off the ground.
Any high points for you? Well, we should say, I don't know if we made this clear. Okay, so you left to go back to discern your vocation in the seminary. By the way, if every host does that, I'm not doing that. I'm married. I can't go discern a vocation in the seminary. But yeah. You... Then Johnny came, but you came back as the host.
Yeah, I came back in 2000 and was there until February. In fact, coming up in just about a month, it'll be, 9 years, 2009, because I was doing a lot of Catholic radio pledge drives and had to kind of, came to that fork in the road. And Carl and Jan were discerning and I was discerning. And, it was a hard decision. I hated to leave, but I made that decision to go out and continue to do Catholic radio pledge drives. And like Chris mentioned, Patrick Coffin, came in and did a great job. And the Lord has led him elsewhere. And Si, I heard Chris say, you're the perfect fit for the job. And I could not agree more. So you know, way to go.
Well, thank you. I have to say, Jerry, I didn't go to broadcast school. I learned almost everything from you just sitting across from you, just watching how you did it. And because we worked together earlier at Immaculate Heart Radio on pledge drives and that kind of thing. So I kind of learned how to do it from you. So I appreciate you saying that. When you look back on the years here, any high points stand out? A call maybe that you remember, or a type of call, or anything like that that you want to reminisce with us about?
Well, I know my segment here is coming to a close shortly, and I could probably take up not only the rest of this hour but the next hour as well. So I don't know that I dare even try to mention one. I mean, there have just been so many, but I just want to reiterate what Jimmy and Tim were saying, especially Jimmy. You know, early on, you know, the question would be more like, you know, where is the Eucharist in the Bible? And then within a few years, it's like, can you help me understand the Greek word for flesh, which is sarx, and, you know, how do I explain this to a friend? So
you remember that it is sarx.
the evolution of the calls, and like you said, the education and catechesis of Catholic radio listeners, we're at a very, very different place right now, and there's no question Catholic Answers Live has played a central role in that, and, you know, here's to the next 20 years.
Amen. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Jerry.
God bless you, Jerry Usher. Well, thanks very much.
Can I do one other thing before I go?
Oh, sure.
This is totally unplanned, and I hope I don't offend you guys or EWTN or anybody, but I'm going to go online right now, and in honor of the 20th anniversary, I'm going to make a $200 pledge to Catholic Answers, a gift, at Catholic.com, and I'm going to ask 100 people to join me in doing that.
Well, God bless
you, Jerry. The end of the day today. $200 gift. Come on, you guys can afford it. Catholic Answers Live needs it. The show depends upon listeners. And just ask yourself, what has the show meant to me? Has it done any good? Has it been a blessing in my life? Do I know anybody who's been blessed by it? Join me. I'm going to make a $200 gift as soon as I get off this segment right here. And I'm asking for at least 100 other people to do that. And let's see what happens.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
God bless
you. Thank
you,
Jerry. That's your challenge.
Well, Jerry, yeah.
That's very generous of you and very generous of everybody who joins Jerry in doing that. Thank you so much.
We need to have Jerry on more. Can we? See you, Jerry.
Did I mention I get 50% of the donations?
No, but that's assumed. We know you, Jerry. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. This book was made specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue, and to give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together, we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of the book Persuasive Pro-Life for just $5 each, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Looking for the best in solid Catholic resources that can answer your questions on all things Catholic? Looking for books, audio, and DVDs by the top Catholic thinkers and speakers on the planet today? Stop in today and visit the shop at Catholic.com. All of our resources are time-tested, apologist-vetted, and trustworthy and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. There's truly no better source for solid Catholic resources anywhere on the Internet. And now, we've made your online shopping even more affordable with $5 flat rate shipping within the continental U.S. When you're shopping for great Catholic books, CDs, DVDs, and more, turn to someone you can trust. Visit the shop at Catholic.com today. That's shop.catholic.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, the great big giant super 20th anniversary show. 20 years ago today, Catholic Answers was born on the air on just 4 stations. Today, it is broadcast around the world via the internet, streaming on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope,
It's still on the shortwave. Is that correct? On the shortwave EWTN feed. It's on more than 300 stations around the United States.
Sirius 130.
Sirius, that's right. Satellite radio via EWTN. That's been a heck of a partnership for quite a few years now. Tim, do you have recollections over the course of the last what you said, 12, 13 years now
13
that you've been
years.
Here? Anything stand out to you?
Well, there's quite a few things. Like Jerry, I think we could spend an hour just on those. But I do remember a couple of things in particular. One is my friend Alan Saylor, who may well be listening right now, a former Assembly of God minister who pastored two Assembly of God communities up in Modesto, California. He happened upon our radio show. And to this day, he'll tell you, he didn't even know there was such a thing as Catholic radio. But one day he got in his truck and he turned on the radio. Or he just started the car and the radio was already on. And it came on and it was on the station up there in Modesto. And so out of reflex, he went to change the dial. And the dial was broken in his old truck. And it spun. And so he's, what in the world? And so he went to turn the power off and both dials were broken. So he said, oh, I guess I'm going to be listening to this. That's okay. I'll get some good fodder to go after these Catholics. And that started it. He got addicted. He told me that he started listening every day. He would make excuses to where he would go for a ride. He didn't want to tell his wife or anybody that he was listening, but he kept listening. And then he started buying stuff. And before long, he called in. I would talk to him. And he ends up becoming Catholic. I mean, it's a tremendous story. I mean, he gave up everything. Yeah. This man lost everything. And now he's driving a truck to make a living. And just a wonderful man, a humble and holy man who now is taking care of his elderly mother and a daughter who had to come back home and really pinching pennies. And I asked him, you know, gosh, is there anything we can do for you? I even offered, I said, look, maybe we can get you some talks if you want to try. And he said, you know what, Tim, I am happy when I can drive my truck by a Catholic church, stop my truck, go inside and kneel down and know I'm in the presence of Jesus. That is all I need.
Tim.
I will never forget that.
You know, Tim, your truck story reminds me. I was visiting with a supporter of ours recently, and we could, as Jerry said, take the next hour to tell stories about people whose lives have been changed by this program. But this man had lived or been baptized a Catholic and raised a Catholic and in his adult years turned most of his attention to his profession and had been living something of an irresolute life. And he was driving his truck and the program came on. He pulls over to the side after listening for 15, 20 minutes, pulls over to the side of the road, gets down on his knees and said, Lord, it is clear to me that you sent this program to me. And now he's, you know, an active Catholic, active in his parish. And and we could tell, as I say, stories like that for the rest of the hour.
We really could.
We could indeed. I'm left with this wonder about, and I'm going to ask all of you to address this because you're, especially you two, Tim and Jimmy, were in the early stages of Catholic radio. What took us so long? I think we have a guest on the line. Do we have a guest? Oh, we do. We have a Bishop James Conley of the Catholic Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska. Bishop Conley, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on. It's great. Congratulations on 20 years of Catholic Answers Live. A great anniversary.
It is for us. Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, we were talking a little earlier with Patrick Madrid about the not just Catholic Answers Live's progress, but the progress of apologetics in the church. Have you seen the same thing over the course of these recent decades, that there's a greater willingness to engage the intellectual heft that the church has, not just to try to be I don't want to be dismissive, but when I was a kid, we actually sang Kumbaya in my CCD class. So
not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, you never hear anybody sing that. Bishop, I'll leave that with you. Any comments?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. I think there's been a maturing of apologetics over these last 20 years or so. a kind of evolution of deeper and more compelling apologetics, because we've got a voice out there in radio land. And I think that we've seen a real perfecting of the apologetics in ways that we probably wouldn't have had if there wouldn't have been this voice to be able to engage.
We've been very fortunate, Your Excellency, to have a dear friendship with you and a number of other ordinaries around the country. But yours is one that we hold very close to our hearts, and it is it's magnified by the friendship that we have with the Nebraska Catholic Radio Network, Spirit Catholic Radio, which I know you're very close to, Jim Carroll up there, and what magnificent work they're doing up there in Nebraska.
Yeah, it's a wonderful gift for me as a bishop, for all the bishops in Nebraska, to be able to have that reach into, we're a real rural diocese, so we can go all the way across, the state in through the radio waves. It's been a great gift, and Spirit Catholic Radio has been a great gift for all of us.
Excellency,
the collaboration has been great too.
Let me ask another question, because I know something very dear to you is the your ministry to students there at the University of Nebraska. And by the way, folks, maybe you can even give the website, Bishop Conley, so people can see the beautiful church you built on the campus there and the magnificent Newman Center that's growing. But we're getting increasingly younger and younger callers, younger and younger people watching on the Facebook feed, watching on the YouTube feed. And this excites us very much, and maybe you can speak to that.
Sure. In fact, I was just in Chicago this week at Focus SLS 18, and about 7,000 Catholic college students have been gathering there and still there for a wonderful Focus-sponsored event. Yeah, HuskerCatholic.com is our website at the Newman Center at the University of Nebraska. And, I've seen this, with our Newman Institute of Catholic Thought and Culture, which you're very familiar with, Chris. This has been a great blessing for young people. And I think the whole area of apologetics and getting into our faith and knowing our faith and sharing our faith and having the confidence to discuss these permanent things on college campuses, which, as we know, is not an easy thing, especially for Catholics, and they're intimidated a lot by academia. But they're encouraged and they're inspired to do this, and we see it every day at the University of Nebraska. So I think it's a great gift.
Yeah, glory.
Bishop Conley, do you have a sense that people are more accepting of Catholic radio? And I mean people, like some of the comments earlier included the fact that maybe there wasn't certainty within the clergy, among the bishops, about what this would be and what it would mean. Do you have a sense that it's gained a kind of acceptance among those who are responsible for the life of the church?
I think so. I think among the bishops, maybe there was sort of a hesitancy to get involved in Catholic radio. A lot's changed in the last 10, 15 years. I think with younger bishops and younger priests that realize the power of radio and the reach that we have, I think there has been a change. And I think there's been a change because I think there's been a greater sense of fidelity to the church's teaching and a greater need to explain that in articulate and compelling ways. And I think now bishops realize this is an important mode of the new evangelization that we can't ignore. We have to be involved in.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Bishop James Conley is our guest. Thanks so much for calling, Bishop, and joining us on our 20th anniversary special. And thank you so much for all the work that you do there as the Ordinary of the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska.
And for your dear friendship to Catholic Answers.
Thank you. Thank you for your prayers, and congratulations again. God bless you all.
Thank you, Your Excellency.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Chris Check, don't go anywhere. We're going to do another hour of this. We have more fantastic guests coming up.
I was told there was going to be champagne.
Where are the balloons?
Let me just tell you this. The cake doesn't work very well on radio, so we're going to cut the cake.
Champagne's going to work really well.
Champagne will help the radio. But we're going to cut the cake in about 30 seconds when we go just to Facebook, YouTube, and Periscope streaming. So for those who are watching online, stay with us. We're going to keep the mics on.
Or dial up Facebook.
Right. And if, but if you're not on Facebook and you want to join in the cake cutting, just get over there to Facebook or YouTube or Periscope and join us. We'll be there.
Where are the balloons?
They're all behind you, Tim. There's balloons all and there's streamers. Thanks, everybody who did the decorating. Thanks, Emily. Thanks, Nick. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the super fantastic, excellent, giant 20th anniversary celebration on Catholic Answers Live.